Welcome to It's Too Early Podcast, the podcast for the young workforce in Central Illinois who are up early and building something great. I'm your host, Jack Hart, and every Tuesday and Thursday, I sit down with the next generation of workers, leaders, and creators to talk about how they got started, where they're headed, and what keeps them going. These are real stories from young people who are figuring out and forging their path, because sure, it's too early, but the coffee's on, the mics are hot, and we got stuff to talk about. Let's get started. Good morning and welcome to the show today. We have a welcoming special guest here, Mr. Zach Brewer. Zach, I've known for several years now, great guy. He's done it all. He's tried a couple different things, but he's now got an exciting job, and we're here to hear about it. So, Zach, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me on, man. Like you said, been friends for what, almost 4 years now, I think?
It's been a while. Yeah.
It's been a good time. It's fun to see what we've always both been up to and reconnect at different times. So looking forward to today.
Awesome. Well, let's start off with you. I mean, you're from this area. Tell us, you know, where you're from, how you started, how's growing up in Central Illinois been?
You know, it's been everything that I could ask for. I grew up in the Springfield area, west side of Springfield, but went to New Berlin for school. Loved it out there. Loved being a pretzel. Had a pretzel on the podcast
Pretzel's
that I listened to just recently. No, it's not embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Awesome.
It's an embarrassing mascot.
No, it's not. Nope. I'm glad you didn't bring it up with Dalton. He's a pretzel pride kind of guy like me.
Oh, thank goodness I didn't bring it up with Dalton.
but I loved it. It was awesome. It was a small school, but I lived in Springfield, so I kind of got the best of both worlds of that small school atmosphere on the outside of town, but being able to grow up in the Springfield community and have all the resources that offered, and I'm just super grateful to be a part of it, yeah.
Cool, yeah. I know New Berlin's a great little small town over there. Just, what is it, 20 minutes to the 15, yeah. If that, yep. To the west here. So I used to go to school in Jacksonville, visit all the area over there. A lot of great people that come out of New Berlin. So you've done a couple different things, you know, in the career-wise. So let's start out with college. You played, what, college baseball, right?
I did,
played,
yep.
That for all. Tell us a little bit about the college baseball aspect, and then tell us about how you went from college and what you did after that.
So after graduating, I graduated in COVID 2020, and I knew I wanted to play some college baseball. Wasn't really sure where. And I was getting ready to go to Illinois College in Jacksonville, signed my letter there, getting ready to think about doing that. And it was actually a graduation party. I talked to a guy, and he got me connected with the head coach at Lincoln Land, and that guy gave me an opportunity to walk onto the team there. Spent 2 years at Lincoln Land, loved every second of it. Was a part of two really, really good teams, and it was awesome. It was kind of like I heard on the podcast today, like kind of a feeling of imposter syndrome, honestly, with a lot of things that I've done. And I found out that as I did those things, it took away joy in certain areas. So as I kind of have looked back and grown, I've been more appreciative of those opportunities, just knowing that, like, however the reason that you get to somewhere is, what you make of is more of the cool opportunity, which is kind of leading to the next thing. After Lincoln Land, I ended up had a short stint at Mizzou, didn't play baseball, realized I Mizzou wasn't my home, and found my way at SIUE, lived with some former Lincoln Land teammates there, and then going into my senior year, was presented the opportunity to become a part of the SIUE baseball program, and kind of had that same thing of like, man, like, why was this opportunity given to me? How do I belong here? But did everything that I could to make the most out of it, and had a great, great senior year at SIUE, just being a part of that program. Meet a lot of really cool guys, some guys that are playing pro ball now at just different levels, and it's just such a cool opportunity to look back on now, realizing that, like, every place I was put into, I was there for a reason, whether I saw it in the moment or not, and just how much I grew in each of those places, and just because of a game of baseball is awesome to me.
No, that's awesome. I bet you have a lot of great connections and stories to go along with, you know, amazing baseball players. What position did you play?
I was a catcher. I grew up when we were young, and I would catch sometimes when everybody took their turns catching. And then I played from – my dad was my coach when we were young. And I finally got to the point where I was a kid who wasn't scared to get back there and put the gear on when everybody started to throw a little bit harder and kids never wanted to catch. So being the coach's son and not being afraid to do it, I got stuck back there, and then I kind of fell in love with it, and it led me to a lot of really cool places. So I'll forever be grateful for that.
A lot better than me. I tried catcher one time. I think I was in – fifth grade, and I'm scared to death of the ball coming at me. I always was a forward guy, you know, that's why I was a striker in soccer. I'm always going forward.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Props to you for being a catcher, and your knees, your poor knees, got to be killing you after that.
Somehow a lot better than I thought. I don't know what it is, but Everything I've ever done, my knees are pretty healthy.
Hey, you must stretch them out then. All right, so, you know, you played baseball, the collegiate side of college. You went to Lincoln 2 years, which is a great school, and then SIUE. So what did you study at SIUE, and then where'd you go right after graduation?
I studied business administration. I kind of bounced around between finance, management, different things, and just ended up in general business administration because it got me done with school the fastest. And I was definitely ready to be out of the college atmosphere because of I like to learn a lot, but I don't like to sit down in the traditional classroom setting, study for a test, pass the test with a good grade, don't remember anything, kind of move on to the next thing, which is what I did all my life growing up. I humbly was good at school. I wasn't necessarily the smartest kid in my class, but I was able to learn things, remember them while I needed to, and move on. And while I was in college, I started to read a lot more, and I started to learn through books and different things that I actually enjoyed. On the business side of things, on the life, on the personal growth side of stuff. So I was definitely ready to be done with school, got out of there, especially after transferring twice. I ended up finishing the summer of last year, so that summer of 2024, and kind of was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. Didn't know if I wanted to work in the finance world, management world, just wasn't for sure. So similar to a buddy did, Dalton Minder said he started there. He kind of led me back to New Berlin. I substitute taught for most of this year. Started taking my real estate classes last fall after talking with a family friend whose team I'm now a part of. I brought that up to him a couple years ago, and he goes, whenever you're ready, you just let me know. So had that talk with him, and he says, here's what you got to do. Started taking those classes while I was at the school, subbing and coaching, and kind of made my way through there to where we're at now.
Awesome. That's a fun little experience, you know. A lot of people, you know, with the business degree, you wouldn't think going substitute teaching. Did you enjoy substitute teaching that have a lot of impact on, you know, you as now? I mean, even coaching, you know, you're helping out a lot of the younger generations. Like, how did that have an impact on your life?
Definitely. I enjoyed every day of substitute teaching. And everybody asked me if I wanted to go teach. Like, I think you're going to become a teacher. And I keep trying to tell them that substitute teaching and real teaching is a lot different, where I kind of would just get to show up, have fun with the kids, kind of be a mentor to them and lead them. But I didn't have to do all the behind-the-scenes stuff that some of the teachers dread, and I just knew that I wouldn't enjoy. But, yeah, I really love giving back to the youth and trying to build them up, because I had so many great people that over my years poured so much into me, whether it was spiritually or physically, just whatever it might be. So many people poured into me, and then if I can just take just a little bit of what I know and hopefully give back to some of those kids, it's fun. And it's just a fun atmosphere to be in. I mean, I loved high school, not the school side of it, but just the atmosphere it brought. So just being around these kids and seeing the joy that they have was a lot of fun.
So. No, I love that. I love that. So you got into substitute teaching, and then, you know, you're thinking, okay, what is it going to be next? Because substitute teaching, you know, it's just there for a moment or a little bit of, you know, a little break in life between college and work world. So you got to real estate. Why real estate? How did you jump there? What was the passion for that? I know you said you had a friend that could get you connected. Was it just the friend convincing you, or how did that work out?
Yeah, so I'm trying to think what really initially sparked it. The guy whose team I work for now, his name is Jerry George, great guy. I grew up with his kids, but he actually sold my parents the house that we live in now. And I was a freshman in high school when we bought that house, when they bought that house. And that was the first time in my life that I kind of got to be a part of the experience of going through homeownership and different things like that, where they took me to every house they looked at. I sat in those conversations, and it was such a cool experience to go and just be a part of that. And it kind of, like, in the back of my mind at 15 years old, thought this could be a pretty cool thing to do one day, just to help someone find the home that they've been looking for and the place that they're going to call home and have so many more memories in. So I, as I got deeper into high school and at Lincoln Land, I was like, I don't know what I want to do. I like the business side of things. I love this kind of stuff. And I just mentioned that to him one time, and he said, hey, when you're ready, you just let me know and we'll figure some stuff out. And when I graduated in the fall and wasn't sure what I was wanting to do, I still had that in the back of my mind and know that I knew it was, like, it's kind of tough to get into as a young person and just jump straight into it. But it was still kind of in my mind and kept nagging at me. So I reached out and sat down with him in the office, and he goes, he just kind of laid out everything to me, and it seemed like something I wanted to be a part of. So that next week I started my class, took my time through all that kind of stuff, and kind of been learning as I've went since then.
Here you are. You made it.
Yeah.
Feel good to make it?
It does.
Good. That's exciting. Yeah, so one lesson you probably learned, you know, what's something you learned when you were substituting, coaching, that you take into now being in the realty business? What's something, you know, that kind of goes hand in hand with both of those careers?
You know, I think I can tie it more into even being an athlete as well. But it's just that whatever you want to do, it's on you to do it. Just if you want to be really good at something, nobody else is going to be able to make you be really good at it unless you want to be the one to put the work in. In so many areas of my life, it's about what you put in is what you're going to get out of it. Like I said, I don't know the reason why I've been put into certain situations or different things throughout my life, but I've been so blessed to. And it's not why are you put in those situations, but what are you going to do with it? Whether it's sports, no one cares how hard you work. Nobody does on the backside of things. It's what you do on your own. You have to be the one that wants you to do that. In real estate, you're kind of on your own. I'm part of a team, but it's the work that I put in is what I'm going to see at the other side of it. It's just really one of those things where I hate to sound negative, but you're in control of what the outcome is. So,
no, I love that, and it's very true. You know, I played college sports just like you, and I feel like if you want to put in the effort and try it out, you're more than welcome to, and it's gonna hopefully work out for you, it did for yourself.
Like Mender said yesterday, we're so young that I don't want to live with what if. Yeah. The background on my phone for most often, I'm a big quotes kind of guy. I love different quotes, and the one that I have right now is, nothing is scarier than avoiding your full potential. It's I don't want to live with what if, because there's different areas of my life that are in the past and I've come to terms with, but it's like I have the questions of what if. So it's business wise and career wise, if I fail, I fail. It's life. This is the time to do it. I don't want to be like they've talked about, 35 with kids and saying, I wonder what I could have done when I had more time to do it, or when it was just me and I didn't put myself out there. How successful could I have been? Or if I burned to the ground at the end of the day, okay, something's next. I don't know. I'm a big fan of the idea that failure is just leading you to your next opportunity. Not saying that I want to fail or that I think I will, but if I do, it's not the end of the world. I would much rather fail and say I tried than to not ever know, live with a what
exactly.
if.
Exactly. And every fail, it ends up being a lesson no matter what.
Exactly.
Fail, success, and that's just life. It's just life right there.
Exactly. There's the idea of like everybody says, what if it doesn't work? But what if it does? What if we take that risk and that thing pays off, whatever it is, relationships in life, whatever. What if the coolest parts of your life are because you took those risks, not what if it doesn't work? I'm not a pessimistic person. I'm super optimistic and realize that the Lord has put me in some awesome spots and he's not going to fail me. And if I do fail, it's not because he failed me. It's because it's not what was meant for me. So
amen,
it's kind of cool
to amen to that. So with being a realty and the realty business, I don't even know if that's a word, realty. Real estate business. That sounds a lot more better. Why the heck, man? Sometimes I make up some random words and it works. So what's one thing, you're fresh start into it, but what's one thing, the biggest thing that surprised you about that industry so far?
I think one of the biggest things is when I was sitting with the guy who's doing my training and mentoring me a lot, is just the vast amount of realtors there are. In the central Illinois area, there's over 600 realtors in the central Illinois area. I'm not sure how far that spans out, but think about
it. That's impressive.
600 people fighting to sell homes, and you've got to figure out what makes you special compared to them. Or not necessarily what makes you special, but why should they choose you? Why should they choose me, someone who's 23 years old and newer into the business? Which is kind of cool, because I feel like as a young person, not being 10 years into it, I have so much more on the line. I'm not established. I don't have something to fall back on. It's my effort will be the reason that they should choose me, knowing that I'm going to be the one who puts more effort in and put the time in and help them out in the best ways. Is just something that's going to help me stand out, hopefully, and something I'm looking forward to. And I'm a competitor.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it sometimes can be to a fault. Sometimes it's good, but it's like in anything that I do, I'm competitive, whether I know I'm new to it, good at it, bad at it, I want to win. I started running last summer after I finished playing baseball, and I've never been a runner. I was a kid growing up who ran and thought it was punishment. I was never slow, but I'm like, why? I'm never going to do this for fun. I thought when I graduate, I'll lift weights. I love to lift, but I'm never going to run. But running's something you can always compete in. There's always races you can go compete. And I ran a couple races over the last 6 months, got a couple more coming up. But it's like I was a person that when I ran, I knew that these people were faster than me, but I'd see people, I just have the inside desire that I want to beat that person. It's I think and I know that I can, so why not go try it? And that kind of competitive edge comes out in a lot of different things.
I love that. It's such good motivation. To go along in that, it helps out with all your sports, you know, growing up with sports and have that competitive edge in running and then going into real estate. That's awesome. What races do you got coming up here?
Coming up, I have the Nothing But Cake 5K.
There you go.
It's my sister is the owner of Nothing But Cake. Shout out to them. They've helped me out.
I did not know that. That's really cool.
My sister owns the one in Bloomington and Springfield. They've helped me out a lot over the last
They do a wonderful job,
5 years.
By the way.
They're awesome. Their cake is so
it's
good.
So
if you haven't
delicious.
Been there, go try it out. Thanks. Thanks, sis. Sorry for the,
hey,
for the little plug.
I like her gluten-free stuff, too. My family's gluten-free, and she does a good job with that. So.
They do. That's really popular. But they're putting on a 5K for their 5 years of business in Springfield. So I'm going to run in that. Actually, I'm sponsoring that event, or being one of the sponsors of that event. And then after that, I have Abe Zabel 10K, and that's at the end of the state fair. Then there might be something else coming up in the future, but I haven't really fully dove into it. I got a buddy wanting me to run a marathon and a different buddy wanting me to run an ultra marathon, and both those are scary and take a lot of time.
Crazy. I'm training right now. I just started running last week for the half marathon that's in Springfield in November, I think. You should run that with me.
Maybe I will. I ran Lincoln Half in Springfield in April, and I set a goal for that one, and I beat that and felt good doing it. So definitely. Yeah. I love the high you get after running, or just how you can see progress. It's so cool to like set something and see yourself break it. Like, I don't know, I feel like that's something I'll take in the business world of like when I set a goal and you see that goal. I'm a very results-oriented person, which can be to a fault sometimes of I miss out on the process, but like all the training that went into it, I saw my time pay off for that. And not saying that'll happen every time because there's things outside of our control, but it's like in real estate, like I'm setting goals for myself that might be unrealistic or outside of whatever I think I'm possible of, but if I don't want to set goals that are easy to achieve because you're not pushing yourself to reach those.
No, you're pushing yourself to the max, 100%. I was once again, a college striker, you know, I'm always scoring goals, so I got to make sure that, you know, set the bar to where you, it might take a couple of years to figure out to get to it, but set those bars and it'll just make you better and better at that point.
Oh, for her, for sure, 100%.
All right, so we're about to half point, and my favorite segment is called Think Fast. I don't know if you saw the questions when I was, he might have. Might have saw the questions. We'll see.
Definitely would not have known the answers to either of them.
No.
One of them that you might ask, I think I might have known. But
yeah, so start with the first question. What's the only country in the world whose flag is not rectangular or square?
I know that it's a triangle. It looks more like a banner than anything
else.
It
is a triangle, 100%.
It's like, but not a, yeah, it's isosceles triangle. Good math answer right there. Thanks.
Isosceles.
Thanks, New Berlin High School.
There we go.
It's an Indonesian country, too. Right?
It's an Asian country.
Hey, oh, shoot.
Well, Indonesia is a country, not Indonesian.
That's what I meant.
Indonesian country? I think that's a thing.
We're struggling with our geography in New
Berlin.
We
just said thank you to New Berlin for your math skills, and now we just can't thank them for your geography skills.
Which is crazy because I love that class more than anything.
Apparently, we're paying attention. Maybe you're just talking too much to that class.
Probably. Our teacher loved baseball in middle school.
That makes sense.
We get him on baseball conversations always. Not the Philippines. It's over there, though.
It's over there.
Nepal.
Yep, there you go. Little tiny country right between, what is it, between like India and Japan, I think.
I couldn't point
it out.
It's
got Mount Everest. Mount Everest is in
That's
Nepal.
Where it's at?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fun fact, it's where the, what are those, the Himalayas?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the biggest part of the Himalayas are in Nepal. Anthony, did you know the answer to that?
Yeah. Well, no. The answer to the flag question?
Yeah.
No. But Japan's an island.
Oh, it is?
I did know that one.
I knew that one.
It's between China and India.
You know I didn't say anything about Japan. Where'd you just bring up Japan? Do you just really want to? I don't think we said anything about Japan, did we?
I think you said it was between India and Japan.
Or you say India and China.
I think I said China.
I don't know.
Mr. Producer over here really likes Japan. He just brought it up randomly. And said it. He told me it was, guys, he told me it was an island. Shocker.
True.
In case you didn't know.
True.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Producer back here. That's why you're wearing a Cubs shirt. You know, the smartest people aren't Cubs fans.
That's true. He can't defend himself. There's no mic. I think they can hear him just a little bit, but I just told him it was disrespectful to wear that shirt after what I had to go through this weekend as a Cardinal fan.
We don't need to talk about that.
But I have a bunch of friends who are Cubs fans, and all I have to bring up is 11-3. They're like, well, we won a more recent World Series. It's like, I've been part of two in my life. You've got one in the last 108 years.
It's very true. The problem is I don't think we're closer to World Series than the Cubs right now, but
true.
You never know. It's
true.
The Cubs. I like to choke. Right? Yeah. Mr. Deucher says no.
I'm just going to turn you down.
All right. Well, second question of the Think Fast. Who is the only athlete to play in both a Super Bowl and a World Series?
Baseball and football, we got Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson's definitely
it. He's definitely one.
He's definitely a good answer. We got Mr. Colorado, Deion Sanders. I'm trying to think. There's a couple other ones who were really good. Dude, the amount of people who have been drafted by the MLB and end up choosing to play football or have kind of done both.
Well, and Jordan's done. Cool. Jordan did basketball and baseball, same thing.
He ended up playing, up to single or double A.
Kyler Murray.
But Kyler Murray, Russell Westbrook, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Jameis Winston, all these quarterbacks were all pitchers that got drafted and decided not to play. I'm a good Deion Sanders, though.
Yeah, definitely. Mr. Primetime himself.
Didn't Barry Sanders play in both, too? Or is that might be a dumb answer. I don't know. I thought he played baseball, too.
I can't remember if he did or not.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Hey, Deion, though, is he going to win a championship in Colorado? Is it going to happen?
No. I do like what he's doing over there. A lot of people don't. I think he's done some really cool things. I feel like he's a pretty good coach. I love some of his talks in front of the team where he says some of the same things, like, nobody else cares how hard you work. It's about results. The work you put in behind the scenes, some people might say, oh, that's awesome. Most people don't care what they don't see.
No, that's true.
It's all about results-oriented things. So
they're playing the Big 12, too, and they're still not doing too great. I mean, I don't think Shadur was that good. I don't think he's going to be good in the Browns.
He's got arrested – or not arrested. He got a ticket for driving like 100 miles an hour like a couple weeks ago.
Welcome to the NFL. You get tickets for driving recklessly. Or you go to the University of Georgia and you're a lineman. That happens too. Goodness. All right. Well, third question is a kind of a pop fun question. I think you'd know the answers if you didn't see it. But 2012, hit by Carly Rae Jepsen became a viral sensation with the lyrics. I'm not going to tell the lyrics. That's too easy.
Last Friday Night.
Nope.
No?
Who sings Last Friday Night?
Katy Perry.
No.
It is Katy Perry. Right.
Wait, is it Friday?
No.
Doesn't she sing?
Maybe she does.
I don't think she sings that one.
You know what song I'm talking about, though?
Yeah, I know what song you're thinking of. Oh, producer, Carly Rae Jepsen. Producer, let me know which.
Rebecca Black sings Friday.
Same era, though, right?
Yeah. I need a lyric now, though. Both those songs I thought were by her. Oh, man.
If I say the lyric, you're going to know it. All right, I'll say it. Hey, I just met you.
Oh. Call Me Maybe.
There you go.
There we go. Okay. Yep. I'm thinking of the song.
Both those songs are very popular.
They're very similar now, I think, like in how they go.
Yeah.
Because I'm picturing Last Friday Night in the back of the car, like the music video. That's such a good song to add into the 2000s playlist. Like you need a little pick me up in the car. You turn something on like that and kind of just start bumping.
I miss that generation of music.
There was like a, before TikTok or anything, there was like the dance to Call Me Maybe. Like people were. Like singing it, making videos of it.
On Musical.ly, or was that what it was called?
It could have been on. We were like 10 years old making videos on Musical.ly.
I'm telling you, Musical.ly is what TikTok was before TikTok, I think.
Oh, it definitely was.
I think it's the same company.
Was it?
Uh-huh. Hmm. I could be totally wrong, and don't quote me on this, but it could have been. I feel like Anthony made Musical.ly is at 9 years old.
I didn't, but I remember hearing about it for the first time, but I just thought it was
good. I'm really glad you did.
Because that was the one where you just have to like mount, like you lip sung the songs to whatever it was. Yeah. And there we'd like be passing the phone to friends, and I remember like me, Ani, and Dylan would make them growing up or different friends, so stuff like that's fun.
Yeah, Musical.ly and Vine, those are the two. It's like if you mix both those, Vine was great, but you mix both those, that's TikTok.
That is a really good point. That really is.
Yeah, bring back the generation of music though. I miss it.
2000 to 2014 is
so
my favorite.
Good.
Yeah, I'll go all the way up to like 15 or 16. That's stretching it, but like 2000s, like just. The vibe of that music is probably some of my favorite ever. When I go on runs, I'll turn that on if I'm like, okay, let's just have a good day today.
Exactly. But, there's just not the same music anymore. I don't know. And I like country music, but that pop music, I'm always listening to that in the gym. It's my favorite.
True.
All right, let's continue after our wonderful Think Fast. You did a lot better than good old Mender did last time.
I'm smarter than him.
I know. He didn't
just,
know.
This is just what it is.
Hey, shout out, Mender. You better be studying your planets for next time.
Next time.
Because you guessed Earth before Jupiter, and I don't remember raining diamonds here, so.
At least I was in the right continent.
Dude cracked me up.
Jupiter.
Jupiter, I got it, guys. It's like, I can't remember the biggest planet out there, whatever.
All right,
Mender. So, from your perspective, in the Central Illinois real estate, how is the market doing right now? What stuff you're seeing? What stuff that people, younger, we're starting to get, we're starting to buy our first houses. What's some little tips you got for people our age?
you know, the market is pretty hot right now. Like I was telling you before the podcast started, it's a lot better to be a seller right now than a buyer, just because of just the way everything's going. Houses are not staying on the market for very long. If they're priced well, there's more people looking to buy homes than there are selling, which just means as a buyer, there's been a lot of times guys are getting into either bidding wars or getting turned down on multiple offers. And just there's a lot more people looking to buy than to sell. So if you're looking to sell, definitely not a bad time to do it, just because with the way inflation's been post-COVID, different things like that, houses are going for a lot more. I think in the future, with how the economy is kind of trending, that might level out in the end. Never really know. The housing market's kind of weird sometimes. But as far as young people, I mean, it's just the struggle right now is as we were talking, that there's so many investors, the people who have had their full careers who are looking to get into real estate right now that come in with cash in hand or are looking places to rent out or different things, and they're owning multiple. And that can make it for a young person to buy, just because cash in hand is going to be a first-time home loan anytime. But for young people, don't give up. There is a lot of places out there. There's going to be more coming. As realtors, we're going to work our hardest to be the best for you and help you guys out in the best of our abilities. So just don't get discouraged, because, you know, it might take time, as everything does. It might not be the first place you put in the second place, but over time you will find that place that you're going to be able to call home for a while. And just know that the people you're working with are putting their best effort in for you, and in the end it'll work out. Just have some faith and some trust.
Yeah, if you're really thinking of buy or sell, I know a really good realtor right here that wouldn't mind helping you out, right?
Oh, definitely. You know, I'm always looking to help people out, and definitely as I'm getting out there, just trying to build my network and young people, I think, could be a really, really good place to kind of build that up over the next couple of years, just because that's where my most connections are. I have the connections I made with my parents, friends, and those people in different ages, but I've connected so much more over the last 10 years of my life with people my age, and it's kind of cool to see them, whether it was friends from high school, from college, from different areas, like those people go into the next areas of life, and getting to be a part of that is something I think would be really special and really cool. So,
of course, yeah, and you're not a guy who's going to short them. You're always a put people first and put everyone first, and I love that about you.
For sure.
So, a little question here. You might not know the answer or not. So, you know, you look at, like, a big metro area. You got your St. Louis, Chicago. Why should people live, you know, Central Illinois, the pricing-wise down here? How's it differ? What would be your little scoop of, okay, yeah, you could go to Central, you could go to St. Louis, you could go to Nashville, whatever, but there's such a wonderful market here with good prices.
You know, I think one of the biggest things you have to look at is the cost of living. Everything up in those areas are always going to be more expensive because of the cost of living and just how the economy is in those different places. The median cost to live here is going to be significantly lower than Chicago. It's the same as, like, if we go to California right now, think of how much more their gas costs, how much more houses of the same size. It's always an interesting thing to look at for, like, the Midwest compared to you go to different places. There's some places that have things that are more appealing, but there's downsides to them as well. But you look at house in Texas that costs $300,000 compared to a house in Florida, compared to a house in Tennessee, California, Midwest, that all you look at $300,000, and there's just the difference in price and difference in quality of those houses is insane. So I think you can get more house for less money here. If you're a fan of that big busy life, I understand it. There's people that love that area, and I don't blame you if you want to go up there, then do those things. But for me, I like to go visit there. I want to come home to a place that feels like home, where I have my area. A lot of places like Chicago, St. Louis, think of the lot sizes. Where in downtown Chicago are you going to find a place that's got a backyard like you're going to see in the Midwest?
Nowhere.
Where are you going to find a place where your neighbors aren't as close as they are? Chicago, there's a lot more vertical living, where people are in condos and apartments and different things. And not to say that there's not that in Central Illinois, because there definitely is, but just the area and the space that you're able to have because of the surrounding towns. And yeah, there's the Chicago suburbs, but those can be so expensive. And in St. Louis, there's same thing. You're traveling potentially across the border to get into the Missouri. You can kind of figure out where you want to live. It's always going to differ, but there's different zoning ordinances and things, places you can build. If you're looking to build, there's different rules and regulations in Chicago where you want to build compared to here. They might be more strict on certain things, and I don't know. I just love I like being able to go into those big places, but then go home to a place that's much quieter and call home, and just have that place that that isn't just a place that I live, but it's not just a house, but it is a home. And it's a place that I like see myself or want to be able to see myself like raising a family. And I feel like a Central Illinois and like the smaller areas really, really provide that really well. Just that small town hospitality that you're not going to get in one of those bigger booming areas.
100% well said. I agree with everything you say right there. And I've been to California, and your small little shack is going to be the same price as a mansion in Texas, as a good sized home in Illinois. It's crazy.
Yeah.
How diverse in every aspect and every area is, especially with how COVID changed that aspect too. I mean, Florida houses are skyrocketed now just for that.
Yeah. Yep. You see a lot of people moving out of certain places for reasons, whether it's government, economics, tax, different things, and you see people moving into a lot of places. Florida is one of those places where a lot more people are going in compared to leaving.
No, for sure. But so you're new at the realty. It's a new. I need to work on that word.
Real estate.
Yeah, you know you can make that an edit.
You can put it on Instagram.
Yeah, make sure your podcast host today has no idea how to say real estate. But so you're new into real estate, and you're working your way up and figuring out. So what do you do on your days that are slow? Nothing's going on. What kind of motivation said, okay, I got to keep going at this. It's gonna suck, but I got to keep going and make sure that I'm getting to my mark eventually.
I think a lot of it is just keeping that same mindset that it's a process, not an overnight kind of thing, where the people that I look up to in real estate have been doing it for a considerable amount of time. And it's like whenever I start to question like why things might be slower, why different things are going on, it's like I talk to those people and I have good mentors that kind of talk about the same reason. Like those things happen. There are times where you're putting in the work and you don't see the results. And I think that's where I'm able to kind of fall back on the sports is – no one sees the work you put in late at night when you're grinding, when no one else is around, and different things like that. And I love the sports analogy just because that's been my entire life of you don't go bench press one time and hit a new max the next day. You don't go swing in the cage and all of a sudden be able to hit home runs the next day. It's a process kind of thing. And when you love the process, that's when those things don't let you get down as much. And so far, I've just loved the process of learning and being in those environments that I have confidence knowing that the work that I'm putting in will pay off and I'll be able to help a lot of people through it. But as far as the slow days in the office from a physical standpoint, it's real estate's all about networking. The more people you know, the more people you can come into contact with and build relationships with, the more trust there is. So it's a lot of trying to meet new people, get in those areas. I try and do some other work on the sides too, whether it's going out and working outside. I spent 7 years from high school through my junior year of college all summer long running my own lawn care business. So it's like I love that kind of work. So if I have an afternoon where I don't have anything scheduled and I can make a little bit of money, then I would love to go out there and just put my headphones on, kind of grind and get work done for people or different things like that. If I got an afternoon, I can go train or play a round of golf with a buddy. Then, sometimes there's that too, just because I know my life is really busy coaching two sports and trying to build all this up. So I know that there's different seasons coming up where I won't have that time. And while sometimes I struggle with I have a little too much free time or what am I supposed to be doing, I know that that's not always going to be there. So kind of just trying to enjoy it and understanding that it's a process. One of the quotes on other quote on my phone, my home screen's full of quotes, and it's I saw it. A guy on YouTube Golf puts it on his hat and has it tattooed. But it's TIAB, and it's just today is a blessing. Just living in the present. Because I'll wonder why, like, I woke up today. That's a blessing on its own. What can I do today? And not take for granted, take advantage of today, and just realize that each day we have is a gift, and just to try and enjoy every moment. So not spending too much time worrying about things rather than just doing what is in my control.
Awesome. Yeah, you said it 100% well said there. So, continuing with, your goals, you said you're goal-oriented, love to look at goals, future, short-term, long-term. What's one of your main goals that you're looking to strive at? Let's just say next 5 to 10 years.
I'm a big goal-oriented person. I think that it's important to have goals in like multiple areas of your life. So not that I always follow through with them. I find goals better than resolutions, especially New Year's. So every New Year's, I'll go through the last couple of years and write certain things, whether it's I have a reading goal where I try and read a certain amount of nonfiction books per year, like different growth books, different things like that. I saw you post on your story yesterday, Phil Robertson's book.
Yep, so good. You like that so far? Oh, it's so good
so
far.
I've read two of his books, all of Tim Tebow's books, like the Goggins books. I love all those kind of books. So I try and set goals in that. I love physical goals, setting physical goals. Can get into that after the professional. But professionally, one of the biggest goals I have for myself is to have my own rental or to flip a house within the next, not 5 years, but 2 years. Because I think whenever I set goals long-term, I want to set long-term goals that are not unrealistic, but take 100% effort to achieve.
Yeah.
I haven't really set monetary goals of like sell this dollar amount in real estate or have this thing, but it's, I don't know, I need to set more tangible goals real estate, but to get my name into more houses, to get more comfortable with different things, to help X number of people. Still kind of working on those monetary goals as I'm sitting with my mentor and trainer and kind of learning those things. But yeah, from my professional side, I would love to buy my own property and flip it within the next 2 years, because that's a challenge for me that pushes me. Like I can't financially do that at this moment. So I'm looking to force myself to put myself into scenarios that allow that to be possible in the next 2 years. And then I'm a big physical goal kind of person. I achieve one of them with that, the sub 2 half marathon earlier, and I kind of set some more as we go. And I don't know, I love the freedom that real estate gives me to achieve my physical goals of like, hey, I don't have this, I'm able to go train for these kind of things. Have you ever heard of Nick Bear?
No, I haven't.
Nick Bear is the owner of BPN, like a supplement company.
Yeah.
Where they're big in the endurance sport place now, where he started off as like a pre-workout protein powder, like get jacked. He was in the military kind of thing, but his mindset's some of the stuff I love the most. And one of his quotes that he has is, if it matters to you, you will make time. And that's just been something that I've thought about over the year. So much is like what really matters to me. And it's easy to step back and say, where's my time been? And where am I putting the most amount of time in? And it's just super cool to see that, especially with the physical goals of like, okay, I see why I reached that, because I put the time in. It's like, it's cool to be able to ask yourself that question. Am I putting the time in to see the results I want? When you really see it, like take a step back, you're like, oh man, like I haven't put the time in. No wonder that's not working. And, oh, I know I'm putting the time in. I haven't seen those results yet, but I know that they're coming, just because, I mean, success doesn't happen overnight. Or spiritually, like, am I putting the time in to be in where I want to be in my relationship with the Lord? Am I hitting those goals that I have in my faith journey? So it's super cool. I love to just, I love the process, but I am a results-oriented person. So like, I like to look back on the goals that I've set. Like, did I hit that in time? Did I do that? I think goals, you have to have a time frame on them, because if it's just like I hope to do this, then you don't push yourself. Like, when I signed up for the race, I had the goal and I signed up for the race. It's like, okay, there's a time frame on that now, because I have to be able to do that by that date, or otherwise it doesn't matter to me. So kind of just slowly learning what goals I want to set in real estate has been something that's fun, because it's a new challenge. I think it's always important to challenge yourself in multiple spots, and not just professionally, but if all you do is challenge yourself professionally, at some point you're going to burn out. Like,
yeah,
if all it is a results thing of like, I want to hit this, and this, those are awesome things for periods, and you should always have those. But if I'm not growing in other areas, then I can't be the fullest, I can't live my life to the fullest extent. So
yeah, you need to put balance. I mean, especially the physical aspect, spiritual, and then have the you know, career base. You put those in a perspective. And one thing I've always been told is, you know, you go to the gym once, you're not going to see anything. You go to the gym once for a week, probably won't see anything. Once for a month, maybe you'll see something. Then eventually gets that year, you're like, man, you're a totally different person. You didn't realize it. So, you know, you're putting in the effort now to hopefully bring it back. And I love the flipping the house thing. That sounds exciting, by the way.
Dude, that's my goal, is the first house. My goal is to not rent a house. I want to buy a house, flip it, and either live in it while I flip it, and either sell it or rent it out or stay in it. I don't know. That's something I love, and I know it's a challenging thing to do, and I know it's going to challenge me, because I have to learn a lot of different things. So that's, yeah, something that definitely is going to push me, for sure.
Hey, but once you do it, another house, another exactly. House, keep going. Exactly. Next thing you know, you're on the house channel and flip or flop or whatever the
hell. Maybe they'll give me a TV show.
Seriously, I'd watch. I'd tune in. Producer, would you tune into that?
Watch,
yeah, there we go.
Yes.
I'd be like, yep, I got to interview this guy on the house channel at 23?
Yeah.
23 years old.
You're putting the ideas in my brain right now, so.
I know. Here we go. Here's another goal. House TV.
Yes.
I will.
I hope I got to become a little more entertaining for that, though.
Oh, you'll be fine. Come on, they're not that entertaining.
I'll bring you guys on, bring Minder on there every once in a while, get people to laugh. And
you can try and make me and
hopefully
Minder
not get canceled.
You can help me and Minder try and build a house or something. I can only imagine how detrimental that would be.
Bring you on, make you work for a day.
Yeah. What is a podcast guy going to do for work for a day? Can't figure out how to put the nail
in
the
And on
the
today's
wood.
Podcast, we're going to be
we're
in
live.
A house.
We're live today for the podcast. How's awesome. This building going?
That's awesome.
All right, I'm adding that to the – add it to the books of the future. Okay. We're going to do live podcasting at Zach's building of his new house down the road. Deal?
Yep.
All right,
perfect.
Add that to it.
We'll put on the list.
All right, cool.
Perfect.
All right, well, last question for you. Central Illinois guy, what's the piece of advice, biggest piece of advice you have for everyone our age in this area that, you know, in the business world and teaching and blue-collar world, what's one simple piece of advice you think is most important?
I think it kind of builds on what I was saying. If it matters to you, you will make time. Like I've been saying, Nick Bear is one of my favorite people, and he points out a lot of different things. But where your time is spent is where your heart is at.
Yeah.
And if you want to see success in anything, it's going to take time. And just in terms of the central area, Illinois area, people like to talk down on it a lot for whatever reason it is. And to each their own, and there's different things, but all it's ever been is good to me. I'm the same thing as Minard said the other day. Like there's parts of me that wants to get out of here, to go do different things, experience new things, and I think that's awesome. If that's your goal, go do it and whatever. But I don't know. Central Illinois is home. It's where my family's at. I grew up with my grandparents, my parents, my family, my brother, my sister. Like my community is here, and yeah. I think that's always what will be more important. Relationships will determine where you want to be and what you call home. Just from experience, this semester I spent at Mizzou, that place on paper should have been awesome. I should have loved that place more than anything. And there's parts of it I look back and I do love. And if I was in a different place in life, I might have loved more. But I wasn't homesick, but like that, like the relationships I had other places made those places want. I longed to be there more than I longed to be at Mizzou. And I think for me, that's why I've stayed here, is because I know that if I were to go somewhere else right now, I would want to be at home. Yeah. I would want to be where my relationships are, and when those connections. So just the relationships you can build with people in Central Illinois. There's so many great people that want to help you. Like they're looking for what's in your best interest and what's best for you. And just the people I've got to know over the last 23 years are awesome. And they're people that I want to stay surrounded by. So just to dive into that, to get to know people, to put yourself out there, and just whatever you want to be good at, to put the time in, because where you put your time at is what really is important to you. So I think that's just one of the biggest things, and my faith has had so much to do with that. But I really truly do believe we're all put into places, not by coincidence or chance, by fate, but like because the Lord has ordained it, and he's put us where we're supposed to be, around the people we're supposed to be around. So
amen to that.
How can you live that to your fullest potential and really make the most out of it? I mean, if you're going to just live in this area and complain about wanting to be somewhere else, like when you don't live in the present, because this is where we're at today. This is where we're at. Like, so you can strive for the future and plan for the future and want bigger things for yourself. That's not a problem at all. Like there's a difference between contentment and I can't think of the word right now. But it's one thing to be content, but still want more. Like I know that where I'm at right now, like I'm cool to be right here because I love my life. I love what I'm doing. Even though I do want more, that doesn't mean that I need a new atmosphere. It's like, just how can I continue to grow and build? And I think that's where I find my, like, want to leave here go away, because there's so many places I want to grow personally and do more for myself before I say, well, I've done everything that this area has to offer for me. Like, no, like, I haven't put the time in for me to say everything that this area has given me is all that there is. So,
yeah. No, that's wonderful. It's so well said. I mean, I'm the same way. I grew up here. Not trying to do a business here, same thing. It's like the people in this community, they've built into you for so long that you want to build back into them in a way. And one thing our church has said, the word live selfless, you know, live yeah. selfless and put, you know, put others first and help. And everyone in this community is always trying to help each other, mm-hmm. trying to help you. You're trying to help me right here. Going to get some new business right here in the real estate business. I didn't say realty this time. You should be proud of me.
Boom.
Boom. Finally. I mean, it took like
almost an hour in and we got it right.
Yeah. I mean, it was an hour of talking, but I got it right at that point.
Love it.
But yeah, this, I mean, I sat with Minder. I mean, Minder's built a business off of the same people of just connections here. And now I got you as connection. And God's put you in my life for a reason, and he's going to keep putting in more people and blessing you no matter what. You know, sometimes the grass isn't greener on the other side.
Exactly. It's green where you water it. Kind of like what you said with Mender right there is, I got to give him some credit. He's helped me out a lot in a lot of different places and gave me some cool opportunities. And I'm part of that Wing Wednesday group that he loves. And he said he's going to get you out there.
I got an invite this week.
He said you did get an invite. I think I'm showing two houses on Wednesday night, though, so I won't be there this week, which I'm kind of sad about.
Wow.
But
actually, I got to check my schedule, my Bible study, actually.
But those boys are so awesome to be around. Like, they're just such an inspiration to see a bunch of guys our age who are wanting to do well in the Springfield area in business and didn't move away and try and start somewhere else, but they want to build it up here where they're at, where they have their connections and different things like that. And just so cool to see some of those things. And I don't know, it's just been inspiring to have those buddies who are driven and kind of have led me to want to do those things because like we talked about at the beginning, like, and like you talked about with Mender, there's like, I've had experience of imposter syndrome just about everywhere I've ever been at. I walked onto that team. I wasn't supposed to be there. Like, why was I there? Or I walked into that Division I program as a guy who had taken a year off of baseball and didn't feel like I was supposed to be there. And it tried to take away my joy from that. And I really feel like when you let that happen, you're not living to your fullest potential. And I walk into that real estate business and I'm trying to fully not be in imposter syndrome. When I'm sitting in the first place, like, this is brand new to me and this is super cool. But like, I've kind of taken the mindset approaching this after going through those imposter syndrome, like, dude, I'm putting the work in. So whether it pays off right now or not, like, I want to be as a professional as I can. And I want to find joy in this. Like, I want to enjoy it. So no imposter syndrome because imposters are people trying to blend in somewhere they're not supposed to be. And if I didn't have faith that I wasn't I'm where I'm supposed to be, I have faith that I am where I'm supposed to be. So it's like, why would I be an imposter in a place that God's called me to be?
Exactly.
But I don't know. You kind of said what's your advice, and I gave some of that. But my final thing, just challenge yourself. Like, find areas to challenge yourself in everything. Like, to say that you've done everything you can, but you're not actively challenging yourself, is somewhere I just can't live with. Like I still struggle, and I mess it up all the time. Like, I set goals for myself that, like, I want to push myself to do things I've never done or didn't think I could do or different things. Just if you're not challenging yourself, you're not growing. And you ask why the grass is greener, like, why the grass isn't growing, different things. Well, you're not pushing it. You're not doing different things. And I think that's where I found the most joy over the last year, is just by doing hard things that I didn't think I could do before. And it's been one of the most rewarding things that I've had in my life, and it's been a lot of fun.
So. And just going to keep doing it and getting bigger and better and better and better no matter what, and your faith and your work and your athletic skills. I got to start running more because I ran a mile and a half last night, and my back started giving out on me.
Dude, I ran at 5:30 before Bible study last night, and it was so hot.
I don't know why you did that. I ran at like 9 o'clock last night.
Yeah, I was too tired. I've been tired the last couple of days, so I've been trying to go to bed early, get up early, and sometimes it goes better than others, sometimes it doesn't, but I didn't run in the morning, so I was like, I got to get it in before Bible study, and 2 miles into that run, and I was soaked in sweat. But
that's what lake days do to you, you know?
Yeah, not even from that. I feel good. But, dude, running's been so much fun. I've always thought I would hate it, and it's like, I love the feeling of, like, being done with the run or, like, pushing myself and seeing new things, because it is one of those things that I told you it was coming at some point. We were almost at the end. I finally had that big little stutter. But it's one of those things where I had never been good at it. Like, I've been good in sports, but I've never been good at, like, running for fun. And just, like, the amount of growth that I can see in that. That's why I love new things. Like, real estate is awesome because it's something new. So, like, there's infinite potential for growth or running. Like, I'm able to consistently see results where it's, like, those things I've been doing my entire life, like baseball, different things. Like, I did definitely get better, but it was much harder to – see some of those times of getting better because it's something I had considered myself good enough at or good at. So it's like those small changes you can't see as much as big changes in running. I just ran that and my heart rate stayed below this, or I ran it in that time and it gets better and better. That's why I love new things, because it's like, I don't always want to be trying something new. I want to build out those areas, but like, to find something new and then put time into it is such a cool thing to me. So
yeah, you heard it, guys. This is gonna be the future Ironman runner. He's going to be running his good old Ironmans and then, let's say, Death Valley eventually. Is that a goal?
Death Valley would be awesome. I do think it'd be cool eventually. One of my goals in fitness is to run an ultra at some point. I think I got to start with something shorter than 100 mile at first. But Ironman, you're just putting all these like 5-10 year goals down. Hey. TV channel, Ironman.
Hey, we're here about setting goals, aren't we? That's our goal. That's what we're doing. It.
I'm all about it.
You're reading David Goggins. There you go. There's your biggest runner nonstop dude you'll ever talk to, or dude, not talk insane. To, or read about.
Listen to Cameron Haynes' audiobook right now. Big guy. He's the dad. You seen the videos of the guy running in jeans?
Yeah.
Winning the marathons and stuff in jeans. That's the guy that I'm talking about. This Truett Haynes is this guy's son. Okay. I'm listening to his audiobook right now. And he's literally a hunter and ultra marathon runner. He's run 250 mile races and won them. He'll go out in the woods for 4 weeks on like a giant hunt, and it's like, those are pretty cool things. And his son's out here winning marathons, wearing jeans, and it's like those are the people that like, honestly inspire me because they're businessmen. They've built up businesses in certain areas, and their physical fitness is still one of their things. Or Truett Haynes or Nick Bear. Nick Bear has built a company who in this year is set to do $80 million in revenue. And he's with two kids at home. He started training for his third Ironman like 2 days ago. And it's like, those are the people that I look up to because it shows that you can do both.
Yep.
And like I keep saying to you, like, he talks about where your time is at. And he's like, dude, other people don't want it as bad as me. And that's true because you got the people who aren't willing to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to run like he is, or then put in the work and be there for their family and different things like that. And it's like, okay, he might push it to an extreme, but like, talk about how good of a mindset that is, that like, I want to be the hardest worker in every room that I'm in. But a lot of people say that, but they don't want to actually put the work in that it takes to get there. And that's where like, I continue to try and push my mind to that point where like, I'm not at the same mental point as them. Those guys are so strong and so cool, but it's like, can I push to be a little bit more like them every day, where when my kids come someday, or when I get married, that's not the first thing I give up. That's not the first thing, but I continue to find ways to push myself in that. And like, those are the people that I love. So I do think business in a fitness space could be far down the future, just cause that's where some of my passions are. But realty and fitness are some of my biggest passions right now. So it's been a lot of fun to grow in those areas.
Awesome. Well, Zach, thank you for joining today. And guys, this guy's got some motivation. He's going to be doing big things in a couple of years. We're already setting up goals for him here on the podcast. We'll come back in a couple of years. We'll be having those goals set.
For sure.
He's like, I ran a marathon. I flipped the house today. I did everything. Right?
For sure. We're in July right now, but just wait till November comes. There'll be a video of me and him running our half marathon next to each other, having a good time, and it'll find its way on
it's
the Instagram.
It's in New Berlin. Right? It's out by Dannenberger Farms.
Oh, I'll do that for sure then.
I was about to say, it's not that. I'm pretty sure it's out.
I think there's a half and a full at that one.
I think so.
Maybe we run the first half together, and I'll consider running the full. I don't know.
I could be in training by the full by November. It's
you
only
could.
July.
That's a really good. Maybe we just go for the full.
Maybe
in
just go full. I don't know. I'll have to look into it. But November's good weather too. That's great running weather.
We're on camera. Don't cut that part out. Me and Jack. Hart might be running the full marathon in November.
I'm going to die. Keep we got this. It. We got this. That's a goal I'm setting. We're going to do it, though.
Let's do it.
Anthony, you going to join? No, I got to go to college.
I'll be at school.
I got to go to college.
I'll support you through the phone virtually. You can, like, FaceTime me.
Yeah, I'll FaceTime you, like, halfway through the race. We'll do, like, a live podcast while we're running. How
about
that?
We told you we were going to do it.
I got these road mics, so we can wear them halfway through and get some video content.
Give you some, like, David Goggins motivation.
Exactly.
Run it halfway through. Who's going to carry the boats?
Exactly. It'd be great. Well, Zach, thanks for joining us today. A lot of inspiration, man. You're doing amazing things in life, and I'm going to be sitting right next to you, supporting you and helping you out with anything.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
And I'm hoping when I buy my first house, I know a good guy who will help me get one.
I know a great guy that will be looking for a house at that point. So
sorry, I rent an apartment right now, but, you know, once I get there.
I don't blame you.
So, well, Zach, thanks for joining today. Guys, if you're looking to do a podcast, digital media, anything, contact me once again at 217-801-2909. Once again, that's 217-801-2909. We got some great businesses coming in here to do podcasting, a couple good sponsors. Guys, we're doing really well. We would love to help you guys, support you in the podcast, hear about your story. We had a wonderful story today. We got a wonderful story next week with a funny guy who's from Great Britain, who's got a funny, interesting accent and has pushed me to be a great soccer player. So we'll hear from him next week. Thank you, Zach, again for coming, and I hope you guys enjoyed the episode today.
Thank you much. It's been a pleasure.